You're listening to the Washington Hospitality Industry Podcast, your primary source of information related to the hospitality industry in Washington State.
All right, everybody. We are just going to allow everyone to scroll in here on election day as a good distraction from from all the other stuff. We're going to be positive today and support each other. We do have right around 150 people registered for the webinar today, which is wonderful. We got two of our brilliant folks here today, so I think you're all tuned to see him. I've got no illusion this is about the fat Greek guy. So, but I'm glad you're here. We'll give everyone just a minute to get rolling.
Right. And while that's going on, I will go ahead and take care of some housekeeping. Good morning and welcome. Today we're going to talk to Arnold Shane and Rick Braw. They are both members of our advisory network. As members of the Washington Hospitality Association, you are entitled to 30 minutes of consultation with any one of our advisors. These are experts in things like HR compliance, employment law, in Rick's case, financial services, and Arnold does restaurant concepts. If you are interested in talking to any one of these advisors, please reach out to your territory manager and they can put you in touch. Also, today we are recording this webinar and it will be up on our website later on this afternoon, probably about lunchtime. And if you want to rewatch it then, you are more than welcome to do so. Or if you want to send it off to somebody else, you can actually do that too. There should be a link. And if you questions throughout this presentation, go ahead and type it down into the Q&A section at the bottom of your screen. Once we get done with the conversation, we do leave time for a Q&A. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and hand this over to Anthony. And if you haven't yet, make sure you drop off your ballot by 8 p.m. tonight here in Washington State. So I'm going to hand this off to Anthony. Good morning.
Good morning, and I'm really excited to be here today. And if you didn't know about the Advisory Network, not only we do have these two with us today, but there's also at least I believe there's a total of 10. Rick, you might know off the top of your head of other advisors
Yeah,
in
it's all
topics
right.
that they're here to help you. And so they're as part of your membership. If you are stuck on anything from marketing to preparing for a sell to lease negotiations to name your labor issue to how do I categorize something in my finances, that it is here for you. I'm really excited today. When I first got involved in the association, two people reached out to me almost right away and said, how can we help make the industry be better? And almost 20 years later, Rick Braw and Arnold Shane are here today. Their resumes are super deep. But I got to tell you, when I talk to my counterparts in the other 48 states, and they don't have Ricks and Arnolds who say, how can I help? And how do I want to be the industry stronger? So, Rick and Arnold, we are so blessed to have you always supporting the industry and here with us today. This webinar came to us from a conversation we're having in that we are clearly in tough times now. The minimum wage is what it is in hitting us. The traffic counts are what they are in adjusting. Just the overall price increases, and we seem to have hit some resistance on price elasticity. And a lot of our industry is focusing on how do we cut? And the three of us brainstormed of what aren't we talking about? And what we really came up with is we're not talking about how to drive revenue, and we're spending probably we probably should be spending equal amount of time on both. So, but we know it's a tough time. We know it's not easy. I know, Rick, you've got some latest numbers from Black Box just talking about where we're at, so people don't feel alone in this struggle. Can you share some of those with some of those numbers?
Yeah, sure. So I think that, some of the most telling statistics are that in Washington, Washington State since 2019, pre-pandemic, Washington State restaurant traffic is down about 17.3%. That's huge. It's almost 20%. While our population is actually up about a point and a half. So there's a gigantic swing between what's going on with the restaurants and traffic and then what's going on with the population growth. So we're growing in population, yet our traffic is shrinking. And one of the telltale signs that I learned last year was around golf. And it's kind of silly, but it used to be about 90% of all golf reservations were on Saturday and Sunday. Now it's only about 45%. So people started golfing while they're working from home, supposedly being, as productive. So they're out and about, but they're on the golf course. So I thought that was a real telling statistic, kind of made everybody in the audience chuckle, but it's telling as to what's going on with our industry. People are working at home, and you see a gigantic growth in the rural population, and the suburb population, and a shrinking of the urban population. So that all leads down to the 2024 stats from Black Box that shows that traffic is down about 3.5 points. And sales are down about a point. Now, in our portfolio, a lot of our operators are down much more than that. We've got some that are blowing the doors off of that, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. But one of the things that's leading to this decline in traffic, not only is the suburban sprawl taking a toll, but we're also looking at restaurant inflation that's about 3.5 times the normalized rate from 21 to 23 versus 2010 to 2019. So our prices are way up, and people like me are actually guilty of encouraging that because we want to see those sales continue to grow. Because if you don't grow in the state of Washington, you're parked on the side of a hill, and if you don't grow, you're going to slide down that hill and you're going to crash. So we have to keep growing that top line because minimum wage keeps going up. Management salaries keep going up, price of groceries keep going up, but we have compensated to the point where we're kind of driving traffic away. So that's kind of what today is about, is how do we get that going and how do we break it down into the different buckets to make sure that we can recover from what's going on. Because the strong, I guarantee you, the strong are going to win. Those that have a plan are going to win. The weak are going to fail, they're going to drop off. So let's get stronger and let's grow this thing out.
Well, and just supporting you a little bit more, you probably saw me in the news in the past 2, 3 weeks. The National Restaurant Association did their every 3, 4 years, they do a massive study on restaurant P&Ls, and Washington P&Ls came in at 60% lower than the national average. So Lisa, if you want to drop that link in there, because I know sometimes people think, what's wrong with me? And this is an industry struggle that's going on, but there are opportunities here, and that's what we want to talk about. That's why we brought you two on board. If you're not familiar, Arnold Chain has been a consultant to our industry for a long, long time. Probably the best restaurant marketing mind, branding mind that I know. And I know a handful of folks. So that Rick Braz is with us, also one of the brightest minds I know, but more on the restaurant finances and how restaurant financials work and how they were broken down. Both are experts in operations. And so their combined knowledge is we're really blessed today. And again, we're all talking about how to cut. Let's talk about how to drive revenue. And in a time where we're seeing cost maybe and other things slow some traffic down, how do we not lose focus on driving traffic back up again? And so we're going to break this down into four areas. We talked ahead of time. We're going to talk about how do we recruit new guests? Then we're going to talk about how do we increase the guest frequency? And we're going to talk about ideas around party size and special events, private dining, and lastly, the to-go and third-party events. So, in a 45-minute call, if we can give you 2, 3 ideas, we're going to come out major winners. So don't feel like you have to get everything done. but listen for one or two things that might work for you, and hopefully we can see some improvement for you somewhere. Arnold, let's start with you. Let's talk about new guests. In a time where people where the customer patterns are shifting, what are some strong industry tricks, concepts, pushes people ought to be considering right now?
My experience with most of my clientele, and even people that call me from the Restaurant Association website that I'm referred to, as I say, first thing I ask them, do you have a marketing plan? And most people do not. They may subscribe to some kind of social media, and they may subscribe to some kind of influencers, and they may, pay a little bit of attention to their website. They may even do some search engine optimization and may even buy some Google AdWords, but I don't see a cohesive effort. So while it takes a little bit of work to put together a marketing plan, I find it really important to one, put it together, and then one, continue to kind of ride the horse, so that you can get to the end result. And what I see is it's an ongoing weekly effort in managing that process and holding one yourself accountable and then holding others accountable. You as the manager, general manager, or the ownership cannot do it all, so you need a team effort. And that's been my hue and cry, right or wrong, for a number of for quite a while. Probably I don't even want to give you the number of years, but quite a while. And I've seen results if you stay the course. And that's kind of my basic is kind of basic scenario of what you got to do to bring in new guests, because it's hard to do. So I'm not saying it's easy to do, but if you put a plan together, follow the plan, hold yourself accountable, hold others. Other people need to be involved. So your three or four key people need to be involved. It's a weekly meeting, and you kind of keep riding through that, and it'll be just fine. That's kind of my hue and cry. I could go on forever, but I'm just going to be, it's
So
just
Arnold, if and
better.
I would agree with you. I think most operators who have a single store or one to two stores probably don't have a marketing plan. And if this time they want to get one started, where are like the two starting points they ought to start with that plan? And then I agree with you, having a plan and being accountable to it are usually big business failures. Right now they got to be focused on it each week, where are we at with it? But if they're getting one started based on your wise words today, where do they start it?
They start with their objectives, which would be, to build the sales, to build the brand, and to build the repeat business. So you got to define your brand really, and you can find lots of stuff online. If you can't find it online, I can help you find it. Glad to do it. And you got to state your objectives. And the objectives have to be quite succinct. Raising sales is a great overall objective, but what are you going to do in your breakfast, lunch, dinner, happy hour, weekends, brunch, etc., to build your sales? So you have to put a little mini plan for each little day part. So objectives and mini plans for mini MINI plans for each day part.
Okay. Rick, what about
Great.
you and
So,
your guest? Do you have a key
yeah, it's
thing?
kind of, yeah, I think taking off on Arnold's lead there is you really have to know your guest, and you'll hear that as a recurring theme. So, one of my new favorite tools, a tool called Placer AI. And what that does is it kind of tracks the your cell phone data into your location or to your building. It doesn't necessarily pinpoint your restaurant, but it tells you, where are those people coming from? Where do they go after they eat? What's their demographic? All of those kind of things. And we, it's time for us to grow up. And I think as an industry, we've had the benefit of people just pounding down the door over the years, and it's time for us to be a little more sophisticated. And I think, you know, getting tools into place that can tell us who the guest is that's coming to our restaurant, so we can target and build a marketing plan, as Arnold said, to target those people, would be a really great investment of time and money. I mean, none of this stuff is cheap, right? But we don't often spend the amount of time that we need to really drive traffic. So we want to get those new guests in. So about 20 to 40% of all of our sales in the restaurant industry are going to come from new guests. 60 to 80% are repeat guests over and over and over. About 20% of those repeat guests are going to die, move away, or get sick of you. So we have to replace them every year with new guests. And I think we have to really be active, and like our life depends on it. And we kind of sit back and we can fall into victimhood, right? And everybody else is taking our business. And yet we need to renew our concepts constantly, know who those guests are, act like our livelihood depends on it every day, which it does. We need to own our community. We need to be in the conversation. Word of mouth is very powerful. According to Nielsen, about 84% of word of mouth is considered dependable. So we want to be in that conversation. We want to be socially active. So have Instagrammable food, Instagrammable beverage, and be in that conversation. But above all, we have to know that guest, and then we have to treat them like royalty. According to John Tapper, who's kind of the bar rescue guy, he says it takes 4 perfect visits to get you to come back and turn into a regular. So we have to have a program for those 4 visits. It can't be you come in, you're invisible, and you don't come back, because they won't. So we have to convert them into regular guests. We have to get them, yeah. We have to know who they are, where they came from, have a plan to get them back for that second visit, the third visit, and the fourth visit, and convert them into a regular guest.
I love that concept of getting in your head. It takes 4 perfect visits to become a regular. Did you say Placer? Just for those who were
Placer.ai. Yeah, Placer.ai. One of my favorite. Yeah. And that doesn't matter whether it's, you know, you're trying to target new guests or get more of your existing guests back. It's one of my favorite new tools.
Is that a paid service company, or you just need to sign up?
It's a paid. No, it's a paid service. Okay. Yep, it's a paid service.
You know what's funny? Go ahead.
Study.
I wanted to say something that I thought was really, you really resonated with me, and I actually use it some of the time. And how do I gain word of mouth through my marketing? And you can market, but unless you're doing something new and relevant to what is going on in the community, people don't pick it up. So it's got to be new. It's got to be exciting. It's got to be something. It doesn't mean if you're a bar and grill all of a sudden have a Chinese menu, that's not the right way to do it. But you need to, if you are going to do a bar and grill, you know, what's wrong with having some really new, interesting either steak presentations or pasta presentations that are maybe a little out of the norm, making it more interesting to gain people coming in, doing the same old in today's world that goes so fast, and it keeps going faster, by the way, I think is not being relevant. So you need to become more relevant, and you need to grow with that. So you're going to learn that in the beginning, when you start bringing new menu items on, you may be doing the same thing. Like for an Italian restaurant to bring on a new ravioli or cannelloni, maybe it's probably not going to generate a ton. But if you do some specialty from Italy that maybe nobody else does, and you do it better and the price is affordable, blah, 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 then we have found that people actually do respond. They don't seem to respond to the same old. You can keep.
Nope.
And they don't. they don't really respond to discounting. They respond to value, but in other words, if I'm selling a pasta dish in, let's say, a mid-size Italian restaurant, sell it for 18 to 20, maybe it's even 16, maybe it's 22, but it's not 42. That's hard, unless you're, a fancy Italian restaurant that appeals to that level of people. But most of my business is kind of in the mid-range. So I like to say, just be careful about the pricing and the value proposition. Don't overprice yourself, but also don't underprice yourself, because pricing will give you, it's not, you need to be consistent with your brand. If you're
Well,
selling, right? Anyway.
and pricing's almost its own, a whole a one all on its own, and I would agree with that. Rick's kind of took an element of what I was going to say in know your customer radius. And there used to be a couple of the credit card, and I want to say it was American Express back when, but I don't think it was.
Yeah,
Maybe it
it
was.
was. Yeah.
They do give you a
Yeah, it was
customer
Amex.
radius, and a customer radius is great. And I would say determine that now. I think back to one of the recessions we had earlier, and there was someone in rural Snohomish County who spent her whole marketing budget on an ad in the Seattle Times. Well, that and if I got go back and catch her before she did it, and nothing wrong with the Seattle Times, it's just that was not her customer radius. Her customer radius was her rural community. And so I think you need to determine, if I'm going to pick up 20% more customers this year to introduce, where am I going to get them from? And
Yeah, exactly.
if they're going to be driving by my place, then my targeting marketing is probably catching them on the drive. If I'm going to be catching them in my hometown, but they're not driving by me, then how do I catch them in my hometown where? And if I'm tourism based, then how do I make my DMO leader my best friend, and how are we talking about every group who's coming into town and how I capture them? But what's your radius, and be true to who you are and really think about that. And then when you have that marketing plan of two, three things you're going to execute within that radius.
That's perfect. Yeah, that's that the big buzz really is DMA, designated market area. And you'll see those statistics show up, when you see these big fancy reports. But it's really, where do I operate? Who's coming into my area, and how do I get more of them to come in the restaurant?
And if
So
anyone's
perfect
seen any
point.
other tools, drop them in the chat. PlaceRide AI is great, but probably the group learning from everyone would be welcome. We are going to go through
Absolutely.
a couple of these, and then we're going to start questions around 10:30, if we're staying on track with time. So maybe about 10:35. So please put your questions in there. We'll get everyone's questions at the end. Any other real things people ought to consider in gathering new customers? We want to get through a couple more buckets, but anything that I cut you off or you didn't get to get out here in the moment? Rick or Arnold?
No, I like that next topic, guest frequency. I think it's really important.
Well, let's dive into it. So
Absolutely.
the second element of driving customer traffic is trying to increase, or at the minimum, maintain existing guest frequency. So Arnold, jump into that one. Give us some thoughts on that.
There's got to be in-store merchandising, and you got to put a plan with the merchandising. If you're going to do a Taco Tuesday, make it the best Taco Tuesday in the world. And the question is, have you gone the distance in your in-store merchandising for Taco Tuesday? Most of them that I see, they're, in the 60% to 80%, and they don't make a big enough deal. When you make a bigger deal out of it, you will definitely gain traction. If you don't go far enough, you won't gain any traction. It's about as simple as that. And then it becomes so to speak, a discount promotion, which you kind of don't want to be in the discount promotion business. It's okay to discount a little bit. I'm okay with that, but I think it's more about the event, and it's more about how you merchandise it, how you may decorate your place, how may the staff, wears, sombreros, who knows, those kinds of things. more in the in-store merchandising and going more the distance. Whatever event and promotion, which would be whether it's Taco Tuesday or anything else, you got to go the distance, you know. If you're going to do a Saturday, Sunday brunch promotion, or you're going to do that as your big deal, then make it a big deal. Make it special. And the question is, are you making it special? I don't know. Most of them just, you know, go part of the way. Most of what I see. And it's really hard to get people to go the distance. And what do
Rick,
you guys think?
what are your thoughts on both what Arnold said
Yeah.
and then on trying to increase existing customers' frequencies?
Yeah, so back to that data point of your regulars provide about 60 to 80% of your sales over and over and over. The biggest thing that I see is we need to be wildly enthusiastic about the brand that we're managing. And if we can't be, we're in trouble. And that has to trickle all the way down to the table. And one of my best examples is I just got back from a trip through Oregon, and we stopped at a restaurant in Newport, not Newport, Newburgh. And so that little restaurant, when the server came up to the table, we said, "You know, what's your best item?" And he about, I mean, his knees buckled. He said, "I have tried everything here, and I'm not giving you a line. You can't go wrong with a single thing on this menu. It is all delicious. It is unbelievable. Same with our drinks. Doesn't matter what you order on this menu, it's going to be a knockout." And that enthusiasm set us up for an amazing meal because we believed in that enthusiasm and we were excited for it. And they delivered. If I lived there, that would be a regular place for me. It absolutely would be a regular place for me. When we're in Seattle, I love to go to Woodinville, and one of my favorite restaurants in Woodinville, they blow you away every single time. It's fun, it's sparkling clean, the food is delicious, the beverage is marketable and Instagrammable. It's fun, and the service is spot on. So food, beverage, service, sparkling clean facilities. And then I happen to know the back end side of that story. They have great systems behind it to make sure that we come back. But loyalty is a huge deal. So putting in a loyalty program and rewarding people. I mean, look at Chick-fil-A, you look at Starbucks. We love to go to those places because they have good products, but they also reward us for coming back. The thing about loyalty is that we've seen in our portfolio that people spend between 28 and 33% more money if you're a loyal guest compared to a 13% discount as a newcomer. So there's a huge swing, you know, 30, 40 point swing. It used to be 28, but I think it's getting even bigger. So driving loyalty with regular guests to get them in, and that goes all the way back to knowing who that guest is, managing your online reviews vehemently. You know, Harvard studied that used Seattle data, by the way, years ago, said that every 1 point shift in your star rating drives sales between 5 and 9%, and you lose sales at 5 to 9% for every 1 star rating. Meaning that if you can just pick it up one tick, so let's say you're at a four, so four is the cutoff. You're below four, you're cooked. You've got to do whatever you can to get up to four. Once you get past 4, 4.1 is going to be a half a point to a point in sales increase, according to that study. So managing your online reputation, giving back to the community, giving back to your loyal guests, being social with them, making them a part of your brand with wild enthusiasm. Those are really the things that are going to drive that repeat business. As I said, you know, the about 20% are going to move away, get sick of you, or die. So we have to replace them every year with those new guests that are coming in. And if you can get them to come back one more time, if they come in 12 times a year, you get them 13, there goes your sales 8%. And they're going to spend more. So we got to get them to come back. And those are kind of my main
Yeah.
preaching
Rick,
points on
would
that
you
side.
mention that percentage again, that the loyalty, when you have a loyalty type person that's on the loyalty
Yeah,
program, how much
loyal
more?
guests. Yeah, the loyal guests in our portfolio spend about 30% more. Statistically, we are at about 15 to 20% nationally for them to spend more, a loyal guest. And they do. They just do. They bring people with them. They spend more when they're there. They get a reward and they buy the bigger bottle of wine. I mean, it's natural science.
Well, I think those are both great ideas. I'll give my two bits in this area, and I like each of those. I'm gonna go with, we got an entire new generation of servers, so we turned over a ton of people. And I'm an old school hospitality guy. I love the movie Cheers. I love the name Norm being called. My family went to Italy, and the owner came out and greeted us, found out where we were from, took pictures with us, had us pose with him. There's a Mexican restaurant by our house, and when we come in, the server walks up to my boys and gives them high fives and asks how the sports are going. We got a ton of people working from home. We got stress all over the place. We're hospitality. We are looking for places to go and feel like home. And I think I'm gonna suggest going back and reminding your sales team, your servers, that we're here to give people a better day. That's why we're here. And
Make them
when we give
smile.
people a better day, they don't get 16%, they get a 22% tip. And when that same server comes in and they come in more times, they didn't turn three tables an hour, they turned five tables an hour. And how do we give people tools to get your team engaged in this? Because and I think we are missing a little bit because we're all tired. Our GMs are working more hours than they have been. But how do we get to do some good old-fashioned training, encouragement, giving our team simple tools of, hey, for everyone you get to post us on social media tonight, I will give you $10. So do something fun with your tables, get them to post it on social media. Just engage them in engaging the customers and making people feel at home. Because we need.
100%. Beautiful.
Any tricks you've seen recently that are good tricks to get servers to engage? Or, I mean, some of it's just old-fashioned, do the work, but have you seen any cool competitions among servers recently that, or your some old favorites you have to get servers to compete for a great upsell or a great engagement that encourages a return?
I have the contest, of course, is kind of an old paradigm that actually still kind of works. But I think what I've seen a couple of when we've done server one-on-ones in the last few months this year, I think on three different cases, three different deal, the servers always bring up, believe it or not, number one thing, communication with management. Which means management is so busy doing whatever they're doing, bless their soul, that they're not communicating with their staff. That's what they said across the board. They didn't come
Right.
up with anything else. So, in other words, we wanted to know server discontent. That was obviously one of the purposes of one-on-one. So, are you staying in touch with your staff? Are you staying coaching? And encouragement, I like the word encouragement even better than coaching. I think the encouraging to the attitude is a much bigger deal than coaching and saying, look, this is the right technique, and I'm going to teach you how to be the best right tackle in the NFL. I think that's one thing, but the encouragement to be the best. How many times are you telling your people, how do I become the best at what I do? In other words, if you're going to do it, you may as well do it the best you can. So that takes an attitude from ownership and general managership, as opposed to laid back and following all the rules, et cetera. So this encouragement, the spirit, as you guys have been talking about, the guy in Newport down in Oregon, blah, 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 blah. All that works. It actually does work. But you got to stay the
It
course.
does.
All right, I'm going to move on to party size, unless we're missing anything there. Special events, private dining, community and community, you know, from kids' t-ball games to people who are working from home now having their office meetings in your place, all these kind of group meetings, party size stuff. Is anything emerging as just a really good new best practice that people ought to consider while driving traffic to secure parties and large tables, et cetera? Rick, I haven't started with you first. You want to go first this time?
I think, back when I was working with clubs a lot, fitness clubs, they would have full sales staff that was just focused on getting new clients in, as well as retaining the existing clients. And they were required to make at least 100 calls every day, outreach. And so when it comes to our restaurant business, we don't do that at all. In fact, a lot of times all we do is kind of sit back and answer the phone. And we need to be out there beating the street. We need to have great concierge programs. I challenged one group years ago to get 100 names on the list. I came back 3 months later, they had 700 businesses and
Whoa.
hotels on the list. From challenging them to get 100, they had 700. And so they are out constantly beating the street, calling the concierge, rewarding the concierge for bringing people in, working with little league teams and big league teams and Seahawks and Mariners. It doesn't matter who it is, but really reaching out to them and being active on that side, like their life depends on it. And let me tell you, if you can change the your restaurant into having 10 to 20% private dining and grow a restaurant inside of your restaurant, 40% of that money is going to fall to the bottom line because you know exactly what it's going to take to run that party. You know exactly the food and beverage that you're going to order. All of your fixed costs, which are going to be, half of your costs in the restaurant anyways, they don't change. All you're doing is printing money. And I saw the smile on your face, Anthony. What are your thoughts around that?
Well, I'm a guy who hates inefficiency. It drives me crazy. I'm a high extrovert, so if I'm going to do emails, I'll go into, in fact, I see probably about 40 places I know in here that I've been in their places just doing email in the corner, so I'm not by myself in my office going brain dead. And I watch servers who aren't busy doing nothing. And the idea to say, hey, look, there's a phone. I want you while you're here, and in between, you're waiting on one or two tables to come in between 1:30 and 4 o'clock, to call the local hotels and see who they have coming into town, to call the local community. The idea of turning that into productive time and giving them a challenge that if you can get four little league teams to come in this month, or if you can get X to do this, and turning that downtime into incentive time. I just the way you talked about it, I see that as an opportunity for the industry because I see so much downtime outside of 11:30 to 1:30, and so much downtime outside of, I don't know anymore, 5:30 to 8. What can we be doing with that time? And how can people who want to see succeed? No one wants to go to a place that's going down. No one wants to go. They want to play this that's growing. That oh, my place is awesome. We were so busy. They want to be in those places. How can they help you get there? That's why you saw me smile.
That's you attract the best and the brightest when your concept is growing, right?
Well, and when they're
Toes
engaged in your
hire toes.
success, right?
Yeah.
When they feel like their work matters to you, all the studies are pointing to these generations, as much as some Gen Xers and older complain about them. When they can be engaged in the success, they get excited. So I love your idea,
Make a
Rick.
difference. Yeah.
It goes along with the marketing plan. In other words, this should be part of the marketing plan. And I know this can feel a little overwhelming because if you haven't done this before, beat the streets like your life depends upon it. It's a new deal, and almost all catering companies are focused on answering the phone And in my past, just dealing with catering companies or private dining deal, people kind of wait for the phone as opposed, and sometimes they'll outreach to the hotels, but you have to outreach if you're going to build your special events or your private dining or even your to-go catering platters. So I have clients that are doing on this outreach about 8 to 10% of their sales. And matter of fact, if I,
Yeah.
you know, so when I start breaking it apart, that is where their profit is, for crying out loud.
Yes.
As far as the restaurant goes, they run too much labor and their food cost is too high. Okay, so where do they make their money? To-go catering platters. Okay. So the question is, and then the question is, are you waiting for them to call or are you beating the streets like your life depends upon it? Well, they're waiting for people to call. No question about
Well, I was just thinking about some, just to prove your point, Arnold. I was thinking about sports commissions bringing all these youth tournaments into our communities, and having kids now. And at the end of going through all those, no one's reached out to us and said, "Hey, will you host our dinner here?" We're all at the end of the tournament going, "Where should we go and where
Yeah,
can we
right.
host?"
We
I
just
mean,
opened a new restaurant yesterday that that almost exclusively does that.
smart.
Yesterday.
Because
That's all
that's
they do is they outreach for kids' sports teams.
and again, your
Sport
sports
teams and
commission
debate.
knows who's coming into town and then knows where they can guide you. So that, I think that's really smart, Arnold.
Yeah, you just got to do it. It's easier said than done. So I'm not saying it's so easy to do.
Well, we were worried we'd have enough content to go through, and we're already at our half hour time. So I want to do one quick idea on third party to goes, and then let's open ourselves up for questions, because you two are the ones that we're really blessed to be able to have here and guide us, and I want people to be able to ask you questions. So start popping your questions in there, but we'll go over one more thing of the four ways to drive an increase in sales, and the last one is third party and to go orders.
Yeah.
Arnold, what are some of the best tricks and or concepts or best practices people ought to have in their marketing plan?
It's my opinion that third party, as well as online to-go orders, are both can be both significant factors in your business. If one, you work with the third party, DoorDash, Uber, Grubhub, whoever it is, and work out marketing programs. I know they're going to take a little bit more money, and that's a very sad story. But if you raise your prices, you're going to get some of that money back. And if you take a look at this, like Rick said, 40, any additional business, about 40% goes to your bottom line. In the course of delivery or to go, I think it's higher. Less your commission. So raise your prices appropriately. I don't think there's anything so wrong with that. People expect that. It's not a big deal. But don't, there's some level of whining that it's so expensive to use the delivery service. And stop the whining and get together with them and make it part of your business. I mean, many of my clients, 20% of their business is in the third party slash to go orders, maybe 25. I mean, those are profitable dollars. I'm sorry you can't get exactly the food cost you want, but you certainly got the labor cost. How much more labor did that cost? Excuse me. So, and what did it cost you? Some more paper goods. Okay. I mean, come on, figure it out. Get aggressive about it. Some people disregard it, they don't want the business. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wages are going up, cost of products going off. You need more business. You need to have more guest count. I don't know what else to say on that.
Rick?
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the thing to remember is no matter what, it's going to be your fault. So you better make sure that you have product that travels well. So
Yeah.
don't sell fish and chips, for God's sake. I mean, That's a terrible product to try out, unless you can work with your, that's just an example, right? It gets soggy, it's gross by the time it gets there. But no matter what, the feedback is going to be against the restaurant. I went to a restaurant when I was in Seattle not too long ago, and when we got there was a big package of food getting ready to go. When we left, that food had just been picked up. It sat there for an hour, and the restaurant let it go. Pull it down, remake it, complain to the company, make them give you a refund for whatever that food is, but don't let it go out because it's going to be your fault. Could you imagine how disgusting that food was that sat there for an hour? Steaming, terrible product. It's going to be your fault. Treat it like you would if somebody was in the restaurant. There's a reason that Chinese restaurants have so much to-go food, because the food travels well. So make sure your food travels well and make sure you take responsibility. It is your fault, not the third-party delivery. You hold them accountable for their delivery policies, but don't ever think that it's not going to be your fault and it's not going to drive down your star rating, because it is going to. You have to treat it like it's your business, not theirs. It's not their fault. It's yours. You're going to get blamed for it. Take responsibility and fix it.
I'll ask a question for me, and then I think we'll get to, so right after this question, Lisa, let's start taking questions from our attendees. So many restaurants are right off the highway, and people are driving by there on the way to work, and they're driving by there on their way home. I haven't seen anyone really master how do I grab all that traffic to grab from me and take home on their way, right? So you know you're on your phone with your spouse saying, I'll pick something up on my way home.
Yeah.
Have you seen anyone really master that really busy road where people can, I'm driving by there anyway, swing in, pick up, and get people thinking about doing that to-go orders at a really high efficient rate? I just feel like that's such a lost opportunity, and I haven't seen an idea yet that I would say, this is the one. Have you seen any really cool thoughts on how to pick up that flyby traffic when you run a really busy road like that and get people to pick up from you on their way home?
Not really. I mean, I think my response to that is, I think my response to that is this: you should be, or could be, or maybe if you want to be known for to-go orders, you have to be known, as opposed to I can dine in or eat out, and maybe the to-go menu is just a little bit different, so it really travels well. Because like Barn Grill food, some of it's not going to travel really good, like the French fries, no matter what kind of fries you do. Matter if, even if you pay $2 a pound for the fries, we have found they just don't travel well, no matter what you do. So I think a to-go menu that would be more interesting, although I've never tried it. It feels like I want to now.
Okay. Well,
And then promote
I
it.
just
Yeah, for sure.
I,
And
I
then
see
promote it.
thousands of cars drive people places, and it would be great
Yeah.
to say, oh, I should pick up from here on the way home as part of their routine.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I think, Anthony, I think the biggest thing for me, having dealt in this space for quite a while, it's got to be convenient to get in and out of. It cannot be fast traveling traffic. So if you're speeding by, forget about it. There has to be an easy left, and most of the time it's going to be on the right. So those are all kind of non-quantifiable type of things that you may not be able to get to. And then you have to, as Arnold said, you have to have a product that travels well, but it has to be easy to get in and out of there, or I'm going to go to the grocery store and do it. So I've got parking there, so on and so forth. So make sure it's easy in and out, block off parking right up front. Like you see a lot of the major brands, four, five, six spots to come in, grab your food and get out. Make it easy for them, and make sure that it's really convenient and your food travels immaculately home. So you're the hero. You're the hero.
Right. You're saving them to how to feed their kids tonight. So I
Yep.
love that. I'm gonna start going through the questions top to bottom, Lisa.
Yeah.
The first couple of questions are around marketing plans and driving new customers. What is the best metric of a marketing plan? Marketers can measure a crazy amount of data from same sales last year to appetizer mix, impressions on social media. What's the most meaningful metric to measure a marketing plan and its success?
The first one we look at is same store sales. I mean, we always do that. And then we start going down deeper into guest check average. And we dig deeper in Rick's scenario. Have we, or our whole scenario of the purpose of this deal is have we driven our guest counts up? So we look at that. Guest counts, guest check average, and same store sales. Those are the most meaningful. I know that there's other metrics. Just leave it at that for
Keep it
today.
simple. Okay.
Yeah, and I think Arnold, kind of adding on to that, make sure that whatever dollar you're spending does two things. Either you're going to build the brand, and that's an investment, or you're going to get a sales to investment ratio of at least 3 to 1. So I spend a dollar, I want $3 back on that.
Every bit of it.
So I don't care, I don't care. I tell my clients all the time, I don't care how much money you spend on marketing, as long as you either build the brand or you give me $3 for every $1 I spend. You have a $2 million restaurant, $3 million restaurant, $1 million restaurant, you spend 1 to 3% on marketing, I want to see 3 to 9% in return sales.
I think that's a good mark. I'm going to keep driving
Driven.
through
I
because we
like
got a
that.
good number of questions in here.
Okay.
Any
Yeah.
experience with affiliate programs? This one's a health type restaurant, and they're looking at affiliate programs with local gyms or yoga studios. Any experience with how affiliate programs work or good keys in managing them?
Arnold, thoughts?
Well, none that are memorable.
Yeah. I think, if you're thinking about an affiliate program with a place down the street, make sure you're meeting their needs. They've got a problem,
Good,
they
good.
need it solved. How are you going to address that? What is your solution for their problem, and how do you step into that space? It is a huge opportunity, but you have to solve their problem. It can't be what you have to offer. It has to be what problem, and can I solve it? If I can't, pass. But then make sure you're super active and you're rewarding them, right? You're rewarding that business. It's got to be mutually beneficial. It can't be one way where, you're getting all the benefit, they're getting none. So I don't care if it's kickback, free meal, gift cards, whatever it is. But you have to reward them for giving you that business as well.
Yeah, and be generous, especially in the beginning.
Yes. Yes.
I think once someone's recommending SMS campaigns with photos and special activities that have been really positive for them, I don't see a question in there, but thanks for passing on stuff to share with each other. I think that's great.
Absolutely.
What are the best tools for getting guest activities and demographic data? What do you use or recommend to learn more about your guests?
Yeah, so I like OpenTable. They've got an open platform that basically says, what's going on with traffic in your city, or your state, or your nation, whatever that is. I use that a lot. Like I said before, Placer AI, you can lean on your vendors, which are a tremendous resource, especially your broadliners. They know what's going on in the industry, and you can ask them for data. So those are three of the main sources that I use, along with, as I mentioned before, Placer AI, which is the ability to capture bigger information about the guests going into your building. And loyalty programs are huge.
Arnold, any other tools?
I don't think any tools, but I think you want to stay tuned in to if you're in a, people don't travel as a general rule that far for a restaurant. So it's not like I'm going to travel 10 miles. Maybe I do, but they're 20 miles. But
Unless you're tourism based, I would
those are
agree
more the
with
exceptions as
you.
opposed to the rules. So I think you want to look at who these people are and where they're coming from. And I, open table is helpful, of course. The vendors are really helpful. I have used that several times. The broadliners, not smaller vendors, but broadliners. They have a lot
Exactly.
of data.
Yep.
They'll tell you who's doing what, sort of in a general sense, and then they'll, then you can plug into that.
Okay. One question here, and I can understand for types of business why this would be a question. How do you make large groups profitable if they take up so much space? They don't turn tables as fast. They require a lot of focus staff support. So if you have large groups, how do you make sure they stay profitable if they're taking up big spaces in your restaurant?
Well, Anthony, that's your favorite thing, right? Productivity. So when you have a large party, you're bringing in revenue. You've got a dedicated staff. You know what the food's going to be. If you're a small place, that can be an issue, but make sure that you schedule them at a convenient time for them, but a convenient time for you too, right? Not over
Works both
noon.
ways.
But maybe it's 11 o'clock, right? Not maybe it's not noon, if it's a lunch thing. Maybe it's 4 o'clock and not 5:30 or 6. Really working with them when you're getting a party in, they're going to work with you as well. They want to be a hero, so make them a hero, and then tell them how long. Hey, we can guarantee that your table's going to be here. What time are you going to be here? When are you going to leave? Make sure you discuss all that stuff up front that, they set the table for a couple hours. Don't be a victim. So take charge, tell them what the bumpers are, and then work with the host to make sure that they stay inside those bumpers.
Yeah, I love that advice. I see one thing I've really learned since the restaurants and hotels have come together is hotels really do a fabulous job at not trying to drive peak season because that comes no matter what we do. Drive the downtime. And so if you're driving large guests, drive them to when you're already not sold out on a Friday night, or if you're a sports bar and Monday Night Football or Sunday afternoon is jammed, that's not when you're looking for, right? So recruit, target the ones. And hotels do this really well. And I'd love to see restaurants learn lessons on drive to the downtime. That's where your marketing dollars should be getting people up. And not just increasing their wait on a Friday night. So a couple different thoughts on that one.
Yeah, I mean, in smaller restaurants on a Friday night, I mean, can you really take a 20 top? And we're coming right into the season now doing that. It's a Friday night, we probably don't.
Right.
If we do, it's going to be 4:30. You got 4:30. You got to be kind of firm with the people. Be nice, but you got to be kind of firm and tell them, look, here's the rules. And a lot of times these restaurants don't have any rules. And then all of a sudden, they're monopolizing your restaurant and you've lost, 10%, 15% of your sales for that, shift because of this, because you were being too nice to the party and not explaining them, as Rick put it, the bumpers, because they have to know the bumpers. And if you don't have the bumpers laid out, it'll cost you money.
I want to end with a branding question, so I'm going to skip the next question because I want to end with a question on brand. We'll get to a couple of the others here. Any suggestions for loyalty programs for single location business owners? Is there anything out of the box that you can see a single location could grab, or a concept that's easy for a single location to manage for a loyalty program? Both gave us
Probably,
the eyebrows.
if they, yeah. If they're both, if they're using Toast, I think Toast has a loyalty program
It's very
that
good.
would be built in. I know Aloha used to have a loyalty program. Not a lot of restaurants using Aloha anymore. But you know, talking to your POS company, find out what plugs in, because it has to be integrated. It can't be a big fancy system that you have to manage. Otherwise, you're asking for trouble. You'll never use it. So it's got to be integrated with your POS so that you can, you know, have your servers managing the guests and seeing the guests. You know, you go to Starbucks, they're not taking your, you know, your card and running over a different machine. It's all integrated through the POS. So it's got to be through the POS. Whatever you're using, work with your POS company to find out what plugs in, and that should work really well for you.
Arnold, what are your thoughts on offsite events for driving sales? So offsite cater jobs, offsite places.
Any you got to be set up to do offsite catering, number one. My suggestion to restaurants is, if people want offsite stuff, is that you'll provide catering platters or trays or foil things that either you can deliver or they can pick up. And if you need to provide or help them provide, you know, steam tables, or not steam tables, but those chafing dishes, okay. But you got to be careful about that, because all of a sudden that'll be governing your business, and you got to have strong rules or bumpers again on that. So what are you offering? What are the rules? What are the bumpers? So that, you know, and then market it, of course.
Okay. That's good counsel, Rick. And then I'll also ask Arnold this one. How much of a restaurant's marketing budget should be dedicated to digital channels?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think that you want to dedicate, I mean, a lot of it's free, right? It's effort. So I still like that whole thing of 1% to 3%. I really like you to spend money on marketing. I don't like it to be a dead P&L item. I want it to be active. I want to see, you know, a point or so going into those channels at least. So if it's $1 million restaurant, you want to see about $10,000 flow in that direction. I think that that's healthy. I think, you know, Facebook is a great place to advertise. It gets a lot of traction. You got Instagram, you got all sorts of different channels. But I think you want to push them that direction. Arnold, this is probably right in your wheelhouse here.
Yeah, we're not exactly picking a a percentage. We have to see what's kind of reasonable in a whole marketing plan. 1% to 3% is a good guideline. Sometimes if the sales are low, the existing sales are low, and we want to be able to push them up 20%. You know, you could be spending more, to be honest with you. So to get all the people in line, it just takes more money to do it. And is there certain ways that you can mitigate that? There are certain ways. I don't have the exact ways, but each group or each restaurant or group of restaurants is always going to be just a little bit different, and you kind of have to tailor make, here's what we think will work, and here's about what the cost will be, and here's what we think the results will be, and here's the term of this particular deal. So you want to sign up. So we've had people that are spending more, certainly more than 3%, to get the sales up, and we have seen the sales grow. So, okay, we'll do it. Sometimes I go, my God, that's a lot of money. But okay, sometimes you've got to bite the bullet to do
100%.
It. Yeah, because you're kind of choiceless. Look, if you're in a negative cash flow position and you got money in your pocket in another bucket, you have another bucket at home or, I don't know, in the closet or whatever, and you have a significant investment in your restaurant or restaurants, it makes sense to go the distance to preserve your investment. It's about as simple as that. What are you going to do to bolster your investment and get a return on it? So I think when you start pulling back and looking at the metrics in that way, as opposed to, gee, it's costing a lot of money, you know, it's a different way of looking at it. What am I getting on return on my investment? Look, if I invested $500,000 in the restaurant and I can kick up my return, you know, 10% per year, Okay, I guess that probably works. So what's it cost me to do that? It's probably going to cost me, let's say, 25 grand. Okay, that might be okay. So it's all metrics. I mean, I think we at times we calculate that when we need to explain to a client, how is this going to work financially? So because they don't know. And sometimes I just bring it up to them because I can see they don't know.
Yeah.
And so I lay out that metric, those metrics for them, so they go, oh, now I get it. They kind of get it. They're not 100%. It's because it's
Well, it kills me. We're at 11 o'clock, and I wanted to come back to brand, but we're not going to have time. So maybe Lisa, maybe there's another one where we talk about brand in the future,
Randy,
because I
big
do think that's
time.
incredibly important. But let's end with one. You're both part of our advisory network, so if you want some time with Rick or Arnold, shoot Lisa. Can you put the email in the who they could how they would get in touch and have some time on detailed questions. But let's end with a fun one. Give us your top two industry trends for 2025. What are your
Cool.
top two industry trends, Arnold?
Affordable pricing in the Asian food segment.
Okay, there's one. Give me one more, Arnold. I got you.
People just don't, that's it. I mean, I kind of say to people, affordability, make sure your product's affordable.
Awesome.
I mean, I don't know if I have another one.
Yeah, Rick, top two trends.
I think the biggest trend is going to be price value equation, making sure that your value exceeds your pricing. And the second is we've hit the backside of the wall from my analysis. It shows we should start seeing better same store sales. Problem is, sales have sucked the last couple of years. So it's going to be, I kind of hang on for 2025, and hopefully we see a better year. We'll see what the election holds. But by and large, make
We're not
sure
talking
that
about
all of your
elections.
touch points, yeah,
Yeah.
all your touch points exceed, all your touch points exceed your pricing.
I like both of those. I'll give you my top two. One, tech. There are so many things. I read about 3 inches of trends every week. And of all the stuff that comes out, 8 years ago, it was all about flavors.
Yeah.
Today, it's all about tech, and
Yep.
figuring out who on your team is going to own this, because the labor savings, the cost savings, the efficiency, connecting to new generations, it's in that text mix somewhere. Oh, text mix, tech mix. Oh, anyway, just thought about that. My other one is opportunity in chaos. We're going to see a chunk of places close this year. We saw more open probably this year than should have in a normal market. And when places close, there's more of the pie to go around.
Yeah.
So how do you take advantage in chaos when you see other places close, either getting affordable replacement equipment? Let's be honest, we all have those servers that drive customers that people go to for a beer or to go see Marilyn or John or someone. If one of those places closes with one of those people, are you talking to those owners in your community about, hey, are there any great people that I can make sure transition well? There's going to be chaos and opportunity, and those who take advantage or opportunity and chaos, and those who take advantage of that, as we see a rash of closures next year, are going to have a chance to come out somewhat stronger. I enjoyed
Agreed.
this. I could keep going. Rick and Arnold, we're so blessed to have you in our industry. Thank you for being here today.
You. Thank
Yes,
you.
thank you
Oh,
all. And
yeah, my
again,
pleasure.
if you would like to spend some time and talk to Arnold or Rick, please reach out to your territory manager. And Anthony, thank you also. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you.
And
Agreed.
everyone, have a great Tuesday.
Bye,
Thank you.
everybody.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the Washington Hospitality Industry Podcast. Make sure to visit our website, wahospitality.org, where you can learn more about the restaurant and lodging industries and the Washington Hospitality Association. be sure to subscribe to the show in iTunes, Google, Spotify, or iHeartRadio so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes. Thank you so much for that effort. Until next time.